Mahmud is, or this part, or just like this one Maisa or what?
This Amud essentially, some of this Amud is actually real Gemaras as well. Anyway, let's see. The Perek ends on the top of Chafav Amud Aleph. We might not get that far. We might, depending on how cooperative you guys are. So we probably won't. Darash Ruchia Bar Lulaini. Those of you who are not familiar with this pasuk, it's because you are shluffing both on Friday night and on Shabbos day. So that wouldn't be a very good thing. But, right, and also you don't know the, who's saying that? Is that the,
No, it's not.
No, who's that? What tune is that? Is that the
I don't know the
rabbis, the what do you call it, the rabbi's sons? Anyway, I think it is a rabbi's sons.
Every shul does that Friday night.
I think it's a rabbi's sons. Every shul sings one of their songs. Anyway, tzadik atamar yifrach. The tzadik will blossom like a tamar, like a date tree. Ke'erez balvanon yiske. Like the Erez tree, like the cedar tree, Balvanon. Levanon is a reference to Eretz Yisrael. Yiske, he will grow. So that is a reference to the tzaddik. The tzaddik is compared here both to a tamar and to an Erez. So the Gemara says, Im nemar tamar, lama nemar Erez, im nemar Erez, lama nemar tamar. What do you got? What kind of tree is it? What kind of tree is the tzaddik? So the Gemara says, Ilu nemar tamar velo nemar erez. Had the pasuk just said tamar without saying it was erez, hayisi omer, I would think, ma tamar, just as the tamar, the date tree, en gizo machlif, the trunk does not regenerate. Should you cut it down, it does not regenerate. Av tzadik chas v'sholem eno gizo machlif. So to the tzaddik, his trunk does not regenerate. Now, what does that mean? That the tzaddik's trunk does not regenerate. So Rashi says that means that he will not be zoche to tchias hameisim. So if I compared it straight to a tamar, I would say that, well, a tamar tree doesn't regenerate. So to a tzaddik wouldn't chas v'sholem either. Lekach nemar erez. That's why it says Erez. Ilu nemar Erez, and if it just said the Erez, that the tzaddik is compared to a cedar. Trivelo nemar tamar, and it didn't say a tamar, hayisi omer, then I would say, ma Erez ein ose peros, av tzaddik chas v'sholem ein ose peros. Just as the Erez, the cedar tree, does not bear fruit, so too the tzaddik chas v'sholem does not bear fruit, meaning that he has no schar in the future. Now, in truth, I just thought about this. Now, this is a very difficult drasha. Why would I possibly say that a tzaddik is not zoche? It's counterintuitive. Why would I say a tzaddik, which is the upper echelon of the Jewish, is not zoche? Tchias amesim is not zoche. It's a very strange thing. That zoche is tchias amesim, the schar for his mitzvahs. I'm not really sure what Rashad is. Is there an article on this? The article didn't say anything.
Isn't that also contrary to things that?
Well, I mean, it's contrary that
learned in.
It's contrary
past.
It's contrary that.
Maybe not in Gemara, but in life.
Yeah, in life.
The tree will not regenerate.
Yeah, it's contrary to everything that we
eat. The tzaddik falls seven times and gets up every time.
Even a righteous man will not be resurrected once he has died. Alternatively, will not produce a son that follows in his footsteps and carries on his
doesn't
work
really
after his death.
Doesn't really answer the question. Why would I think that a tzaddik does not?
Alternatively, if he falls, he will not rise again.
Okay, yeah.
Why would I want him?
Yala, I don't know. I don't know exactly what the Gemara is saying.
Maybe you think it has to be a tzaddik gamor for Sikhi HaSameisim, not just
maybe. Okay, maybe. Or maybe I would say that just as a tzaddik is not zochet tchias hameisim kavachomer, nobody else is. Meaning that there's no such thing as tchias hameisim bechlal. Because even a tzaddik doesn't get tchias hameisim. Okay, maybe. Maybe that's the pshat.
The Ani Mami.
Yeah, the Ani Mami is what about it?
I mean,
I don't know what's going on over here. I think we should just wrap it up right now. Wrap up the toll tomorrow.
Proceed.
I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on here, dude.
I think this concludes stuff.
Therefore, lekach nemar tamar v'nemar eres. That's why it says both a tamar to teach you that it is it's like a tamar that it bears fruit, and that it teaches you also like an eres that it's gizo machlif. So the Gemara says the eres gizo machlif, is that really true? Now this should recall a Gemara that we had earlier that said that an eres
so the
is
the message is the opposite of what the Gemara teaches.
Right.
The whole thing you said until now was a havamina.
That's havamina. So that's why it teaches you that it's like the other tree, that it really does bear fruit and it really does have zohar tchias amesis. That's why. Baruch Hashem. The Gemara says, but eres gizo machlif, does the cedar tree really, does it regenerate? Now, we had an earlier Gemara that said that it does not, but the Gemara is going to prove over here that it doesn't either. V'hatanya, we have a brisa that says, halokeach ilan mechavero. Should a person purchase a tree from his friend, so he's just purchasing the tree but not the land, so he has no rights to the land. So he's purchasing the tree, lakutz, and in order to cut down the tree because he wants to use the wood. How much of the tree must he leave for it to regenerate? Magbio min akarka tefach. He must leave over from the ground a tefach to allow it to regenerate. Bekotz, and he can cut off from that tefach at above. Bistana shikma, when it comes to an older sycamore tree, shnei tefachim, you have to allow it two tefachim to regenerate. Bibsulas ha-shikma, with a brand new shikma, I mean a shikma that has never been cut down before, shlosh ha-tvachim, you have to allow three tvachim. Bekanum ha-bikfanim, when it comes to reeds and when it comes to vines, mina pekaku lamala, from the, but the pekak, the knot, from the knot of the vine. Okay, and above, that's where you have to leave. And b'dekalum or b'arazim, when it comes to a dekel tree or a cedar tree, chofer lamata u'mashrish, you can dig all the way down and even dig up its roots. Why? Lefisha ein gizol machlif. That's a stira. We just said that the cedar tree does regenerate, and here we're proving that it does not regenerate. This is a bomb. You guys should be up in arms about this.
Yeah.
You're very excited.
Wait, this Bryce is saying it does regenerate.
This Bryce says it does not regenerate. Since it does not regenerate, you can be mashmish, you can take the entire tree with the roots, it makes no difference. It's not going to regenerate anyway.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, but then we're back where we were.
Back where we were.
With the tzaddik.
With the tzaddik. Hacha b'ma, exactly. Hacha b'maya skina, so this is what we're dealing with. Beshar minei arazim. There are other types of cedars, meaning there are many types of cedars, as you'll recall, or not, from a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah.
Eres is cedars?
Yeah, it's a cedar tree, yes. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah had said that there are actually 10 types of cedars. There are 10 types of cedar, and the Rabbi Barhuna, the Rabbi Barhuna, Asara Minei Arazim, and there are 10 types of cedar trees, Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, 18 Bamidbar, I will place in the desert, Erez, Shita, Vahadas, and the Pasuk goes on to list 7 different types of cedar trees, and then the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah fills in another 3 that are, if you'll recall, Alonim, Almonim, and Almogim. Okay?
So certain cedars regenerate, certain don't.
Exactly. That's the maskana. Certain do, certain don't. It is 8:34 and you're here and you said you can't make it until 8:40. I no longer believe you. We're now starting at 7:30. We're now going to start at 7:30. I'll expect to see you. You have lost all credibility.
All credibility. What about last time when I didn't get to show up at all? Because you didn't get back
forget
at 10:30?
That is an anomaly. Okay.
Okay, you know what? I was just lying to everybody. I didn't really want to learn.
You remember what Moshe said to Paro, right? About such and such a time.
Yeah. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan. Here we go. Tanur Rabbanan. My sub Rabbi Eliezer Shagaza Shloshes Taniyos. It was a story of Rabbi Eliezer who was goes there 13 Taniyos, which is what the classic. The amount, classic amount of tanios that we declare, 3, 3, and 7. 3 plus 3 equals how much? plus 7 equals how much? Very good. That's a Taurus Moshe education right there. Yoshikaya. 13 Tanios. Alatzibor, Valuyardik Shamim, but there was no Geshem. There was no Geshem. And that wraps up Chafhei Amud Beis. Shkayach, guys. Okay, so he declared 13 Tanios, and there was no rain. There was no rain. So what did the Tzibor do? The Tzibor did what every other Tzibor does. Yischilu Atzibor Latzeis. They just got up and left. They said, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Amar Lahem. Rabbi Elliot, what? That's our school translates it like that. No, they just got to go home. They wanted to catch their segment of I Love Lucy. I don't know, whatever it was.
See, it wouldn't want to be. It's not art school.
What?
See, it wouldn't want to be. It's not art school.
Okay.
It was a sports commentator back in Philadelphia.
All right. Doesn't end here, huh? Doesn't end. Okay. Amr Lahem. So Rabbi Eliezer said to them, you guys are going to get up to go. Takantem kevarim latzmechem. Have you prepared graves for yourselves? In other words, what are you doing? You're getting up and going home as if everything's fine, but we're in dire straits over here. We don't get rain. We're not going to have food. Ga'u kol ha'am bebchia. Suddenly the nation cried, burst out in cries. V'yardu geshamim. And then the rain fell. So that, again, we see this is another instance where you have a point of desperation brings about the rain. Right? We had a number of times where the Tanoim Amoraim were despondent, right? Where it said, what was the Lashon that it had? I forget the Lashon, but we had it over and over again. Yeah. And right, he got depressed. What's the Lashon? I'm losing it.
Mendoza?
Yeah, it wasn't actually, but Mendoza wasn't even one of them. But the many others got depressed, and as a result of that depression, they chalosh daite, right? That's the chalishas adas. That brings about a Yeshua. And so to hear, they got very upset, and therefore that brought about the Yeshua. The following agadita is fascinating and requires biur. Biur rav. Says the Gemara like this: Shuv Ma'aseh Rabbi Eliezer. There is another story of Rabbi Eliezer. Shayored lifnei ateva. He went up to Davin. Va'amar esrim va'arba brachos. And he said 24 brachos, which is typical what you do, right? You have your classic Shmona Esrei, and then you have the additional six that we mentioned in the beginning of Tainus. So he said his 24 v'lo nene, but he was not answered, and there was no rain. Yored Rabbi Akiva Achrav. Rabbi Akiva then went to Davin afterwards. The Amar, and he said, Avinu Malkeinu, this is very nogeya, l'shaasenu. Avinu Malkeinu, ein lanu melech al ata. We have no king other than you. Avinu Malkeinu, l'mancha rachim aleinu. Do it for your sake. And what happened? Yardu geshamim. He was answered. Rabbi Eliezer was not, and he was. Havu meraninim rabbanon. So the Rabbanon started murmuring. They started wondering, what, is Rabbi Akiva that much greater now than Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Akiva was answered. Rabbi Eliezer was not. What's the pshat? What's going on?
Wait.
So Yatsab.
Again.
Oh, this is right in the middle. Like, this is really good. This is where it gets good.
Again, it sounds like frustration. You know, it sounds like...
Yeah. It sounds like frustration, all right. I was right in the middle of a really good sukkah. What?
Pressure.
No.
Why do they care who's greater? Shouldn't they just be happy they got rain?
I think that the... It sounds like the assumption was that these people, these two Tanoim were the pillars the pillars of that generation, and for them, and for one to be greater than the other was a surprise. It came as a surprise.
So
that one should be answered and one should not.
It's and it's that Eliezer should have said Avinu Malkeinu.
No,
after
no,
24?
No. We're saying that no, not at all. We're not implying that at all. He said he did what he should have done, but it didn't work. And the fact that it worked for Rabbi Akiva seems to imply that Rabbi Akiva is somehow on some much greater level than Rabbi Eliezer.
Yeah, but Rabbi Akiva did something else. In other words, he didn't do what Rabbi Eliezer did.
Okay, and Rabbi Eliezer didn't do what he did. They didn't. They each did different things.
Yeah, they each did. One worked. One didn't work, and one worked. You know, so why, you know, is it the person, or is it what the feeling was?
It's the person. The people were thinking it's the person. And in fact, the Gemara says, the Gemara does not say that it was a problem with what he said. The Gemara says, Yatsa Baskol, therefore a Baskol came out, a heavenly voice came out, Va'amr, and said, Lo mipnei shezeh gadol mizeh. You guys shouldn't think that the reason I answered Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Eliezer, is because Rabbi Akiva is any greater than Rabbi Eliezer. Ella, the reason I answered Rabbi Akiva over Rabbi Eliezer is because shezeh ma'avir al midosa. One of them, meaning Rabbi Akiva, he's ma'avir al midosa, meaning he's forgiving. Vezeh eino ma'avir al midosa. Rabbi Eliezer is not forgiving. Now, this is a very strange Gemara.
I don't know if forgiving is the right word.
All right, how would you define ma'avir al midosav?
He's mevater.
He's mevater. He's mevater. He's mevater.
Yeah, he doesn't get insulted.
Doesn't get insulted. He's mevater. Okay? He's mevater in his own kavod. What's strange about this is, the Bas Kol comes out and says, don't think that Rabbi Akiva is better than Rabbi Eliezer. The reason why Rabbi Akiva was answered is because he is mevater. He's ma'avir al midosav. So that means he is greater.
In this individual prat. Not necessarily all around tzidkis.
So
in their learning and Torah knowledge, they were on the same level.
Okay, very good. Very good. So this is what some of the achronim in the back, the Chachmas Panoach gives a couple answers in the back of the Gemara, and he says that, in fact, they were in totality. In totality of their maisim, they were very equal. However, he says, the ma'avir al midosav means here that Rabbi Akiva had certain midos, meaning he had certain characteristics, certain attributes that he grew up with. Rabbi Akiva, as we know, was a Baal Tshuva. So he had certain attributes that he grew up with. For him, asiyas ha-mitzvos, doing mitzvos, learning Torah was very difficult. For Rabbi Eliezer, it came much more natural. So even though in totality they were equal, meaning they did an equal amount of mitzvos, and their tzidkus was equal, but where they were coming from, Rabbi Akiva was ma'avir al midosav. He was able to transcend his natural attributes to become who he was. Even though in totality they were equal. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that even though they both did the mitzvos, Rabbi Akiva was ma'avir al midosav, meaning he passed over. He extended beyond the normal midos, meaning the normal measures of the mitzvah. There's a way to do the mitzvah, then there's the alpi din, and then there's a way to do the mitzvah milifni mishuras adin. So even though you can't blame Rabbi Eliezer because he was doing everything, but Rabbi Akiva did it to the extra height. Now, that can still be debated, because if he's doing it on a greater level, then isn't that make him greater in some way? It's very interesting. Anyway, there is a fascinating piece in the Sifsei Chaim, the Chaim Friedlander, who quotes the Rishola Salanter on this whole piece of Ma'avir al Midosav. It's a very fascinating piece. I'll tell you that the Rashi Prakim over here. He says that basically Rabbi Eliezer, as we know from the Gemara in Beitza, Rabbi Eliezer comes from the school of thought of Shammai. He was a Shamsi. He believed in Shammai. And Rabbi Akiva came from the school of thought of Hillel. Now, the difference between Shammai and Hillel, among other things, is that Shammai was a kapton, meaning he was not mevater. For the sake of the Torah, he was not mevater. Now, this is not a negative thing. This is for the sake of the Chvod HaTorah, he was a captain. He was very strict, he was very staunch in his views. Beis Hillel was less so, he was much more mevater. And there are a number of stories that tell about the fact that Shammai was much more of a captain, and Beis Hillel was more mevater. And so, says the Rishon Salanter, I think it's Rav Chaim Friedlander quoting Rishon Salanter, I'm not sure which one says this Iker point, but his point is that since Hashem treats everybody Mida Keneged Mida, so therefore Rabbi Eliezer, who worked like Shammai and he was a kapton, therefore Hashem treated Rabbi Eliezer like a kapton. And therefore Hashem said, you're asking me for rain, I'm not going to bring it to you. I'm going to look at everything Alpi Din, and Alpi Din, you're not deserving of rain because you're a Shammai, Nick, and therefore you don't deserve it. For Rabbi Akiva, who is Mavir al Midosav like Hillel, he's Mevater like Hillel, So Hashem says, for your tefillos, I'm going to be mevater, mida keneged mida. So it's a very, very fascinating point. And therefore, you can still say that they're equal, because there's nothing wrong with the fact that Shammai was a kapton. He was l'chavod Torah, he was a kapton. It's just that Hashem said, for this point, I'm going to treat you like a kapton, mida keneged mida. Whereas Rabbi Akiva is treated like Hillel, which
big,
is...
It's a big mila, be mavro mida
tal. It's a very big mila. And anybody who has been in that predicament, where they're offended or they have an opportunity to be offended, it is incredible milo to be able to overcome that, to truly overcome that. Not just say, I'm not makbid. It's one thing to say, I'm not makbid. It's a whole other thing to really mamish not be makbid. It's really it's a milo that there very few have gotten to. All right. At any rate, the Gemara goes on. The Gemara goes on with essentially one last agadata before we hit ground zero here. Tana Rabbanan. Ad masai yu geshamim yordim at zira polski mitanisam. Now the Gemara goes into a little bit of din actually, and says how much rain has to fall in order for us to stop fasting. Because we know that we have to continue to fast until it rains. Well, what's the point of rain? Well, what do we consider rain? Is a sprinkle? Is it a downpour? And if it's a downpour, what kind of downpour?
How many days?
I mean, is it a matter of downpour? It's a matter of days? I mean, what do we... So the Gemara qualifies and says, Kemale berech hamachresha. It has to be the amount of rain that can fill up the Berech HaMachresha. The Berech HaMachresha is the, I don't even know what you call it, it's the knife underneath the plow. So that creates the furrow. So when the plow goes over the field, it digs a furrow using this kind of knife-like tool. That's called a Berech. So the amount of depth that Berech can create in a plow, in the furrow, that is the amount of rain that needs to take place, regardless of what kind of land we're dealing with, whether it's an arid land or whether it's a fertile land, doesn't matter. It's got to be the amount that a Berech HaMachresha can create.
It was a standard Berech. There weren't different sized blades.
There weren't different... Right, exactly. There wasn't like a platinum and a gold and a large,
size.
Medium,
there's
right, small.
Size.
Right, it wasn't like an Amazon. You can like pick whatever size you want. It didn't work like that. Yes.
Over a specific period of time or just...
Yeah, I would assume it's from the time that the fast is being called, once we get an accumulation of rain, water, that...
And then they stopped davening from Titus because it started raining.
Yes.
So is that implying that at that time?
I guess so. Yeah, I guess you'll have to say that. I guess you'll have to say that. Yeah, there are a number of cases, right? We've had a number of stories like this. That's a good point. I guess you're going to have to say that, whether they measured it actively or it was just such a downpour that they knew that was clearly that point. Okay, good point. Anyway, that's the Rabbi Meir. But the Chacham Omer and Chacham say you cannot judge it by an objective measure. Because Bechareva, if we're talking about a very dry land, so then Tefach. So then the amount of rain that it would take to get to saturate a Tefach of land, that is sufficient. But when you're talking about a Beinonis, when you're talking about not a completely arid land, but also not a well-plowed land, then Tvachayim, then you would need two Tvachim. And Ba'avuda, when you're talking about a well-worked land, Shlosha Tvachim, then you would need three Tvachim. So it depends on what kind of land you're talking about. Tanya, we have a Braisa that says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Oimer, Ein lecha Tefach milmala, you're never going to get, well, he says it in the negative, but really what it's saying is, anytime you have a downfall, a rainfall of one tefach of rain, so the ground will the waters from the tahom, from the depths of the land, will rise up three tefachim. It's a ratio of 1 to 3. So whatever rainfall comes from Shamayim, there's going to be, from the depths of the land, there's going to be three tefachim rising up. That's what the Gemara says. You want to tell me three tefachim for every one tefach down, but that's not true. We have a brisa that says it's only two tefachim for every one tefach down. So what is it? So the Gemara says lokasha kan ba'avuda kan b'she'ina avuda. It depends. When we're talking about a land that is very well worked, so then it's only two tefachim. Because if it's a very well-worked land, so then one tefach that falls down in a well-worked land, that's not a lot, right? Because it's a well-worked land, so one tefach, it saturates very quickly. So for that, since you're getting less rain you're gonna from Shemayim, you're going to get less waters from the depths.
And if the land is more fertile, so you can plant better in it, so it requires more water to work?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I guess so.
We're saying 1 to 3, right?
1 to 3 or 1 to 2?
1 to... Oh.
Wait,
but the two tefachim.
Two tefachim.
The two tefachim.
Two tefachim.
Would that mean 2 to 6?
No. 2 to 1. There was one brisa that says 3 to 1 and one brisa that says 2 to 1. So the Gemara says, when you're talking about a well-worked land, it's a very fertile land, so then it's a supple land, so then one tefach that falls is not a whole lot because it saturates very quickly. So then you only get two tefachim rising up. But when you have a dry land, so you're talking about a eina avuda, so when it's not a well-worked land, so then you get three tefachim, because one tefach that saturates a land that is not well-worked is actually a lot of rain, therefore, connected that, you get a lot of saturation from the depths. There you go. Amar Rabbi Elazar, kishemenaschem es hamayim b'chag. Okay, this is also very nogeya. Here we go, we're coming up on it. Baruch Hashem. When they do Nisach HaMayim on Sukkis, Tahom Omer L'Chaveiro, the depths says to his friend, I'm assuming the depths says to Shamayim, right? Ava Mimecha, let your waters bubble up, right? Your waters should rise up. Kol Shnei Reim Ani Shomea, I am hearing the voice of two friends. What are those two friends? I think it's the Nisuch HaMayim and the Nisuch HaYayin. He hears normally there's only Nisuch HaYayin going on, but on Chag and Sukkot we get Nisuch HaMayim, so the two friends are creating their noises as the water and the wine come together on the Mizbeach. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Tahom el Tahom kore lakotsu norecha. One Tahom, the depths, and another Tahom, the Shamayim, are calling out to the voice of your pipes. Which is that we have reference to the pipes.
In the Sukkah, the Gemara, it's not a simple thing, Nisuch HaMayim. It goes all the way down to the Tahom.
Does it go all the way down to the Tahom?
I think so, yeah.
It goes down to the Mizbeach, doesn't it come out on the bottom of the Mizbeach, or does it go
all the way down?
Does it go all the way down?
David, are you saying pipes are equipped with water channels?
Yes, water channels. That's what I meant to say.
Pipes are what you know is mine.
Sinor. It's not a modern day pipe. Yeah, and water channels. Okay. Gemara concludes here. I'm a rabba lididi. Chazili, I saw. Hi, Ridya.
You saw an angel.
I saw that Ridya. I saw that angel. The angel that is appointed on Geshem, right? Who calls out when Geshem is going to come. Dami le'igla. I saw that he was similar to a shore. He looks like a shore. Like an eagle, a calf. Upirsas is vase, and it opens up, it spreads out its lips. Vekaima bein tahoma tasala tahoma ilah. This is all very mystical and allegorical. And this malach stands in between the depths underneath and the depths above. Take it what you will. The tahoma ilah to the upper depths, amarle, the malach says, chashor meimecha. Let sprinkle your waters down. L'tahoma tasa, but to the depths, to the lower depths, Amarle, he says to him, Avame mecha, let your waters bubble up, rise up. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Hanitzanim niru ba'aretz. For those of you who are Bekiim in Shir HaShirim, you'll appreciate this Pasuk. For those of you who are not Bekiim in Shir HaShirim, but you are Bekiim in Kol Achai's music, you will also appreciate this pasuk.
Bekiim in what?
Kol Achai.
Why is there a song to this?
They have a song called a song on this pasuk.
Can you sing it?
No, I will not sing it now. But it's a beautiful song. You should look it up. YouTube it. It's a very good song. Anyway, the pasuk says Hanitzanim Niru Ba'aretz. The blossoms. The blossoms are found in the are seen in the land. Eis hazamir higia, the time of zamir, of pruning, has come. The kol hator nishma be'artzenu, and the voice of the tor, which is a reference, really literally, the tor is a bird. Nishma be'artzenu is heard in our land, but the Gemara here is darshaning this pasuk completely differently, and it's saying hanitzanim niru ba'aretz. Just as the blossoms are seen in the land, when are blossoms seen in the land? Only once a year. So too, Nisuch HaMayim only happens once a year. And the pasuk goes on and says, Eis HaZamir Higia, the time of Zamir. Zamir means pruning, but Zamir also means Zmiros. So when they're singing, meaning during the Nisuch HaMayim, the Levim are singing, there's a lot of singing going on in the Mikdash. It's a time of great song, Beis HaShoeva, v'chule, v'chule. It's an Eis HaZamir. The kol hator nishma be'artzenu. What's a tor? Tor is a bird, but a tor is also in Aramaic a shore, and that's the malach that is mamuna on geshamim who's saying nishma be'artzenu. He's heard in our land. He's saying here comes the water. It's a beautiful pasuk. It's a beautiful drasha. Anyway, that will get it done. Anyway. Stu Lance, who was an old commentator for the Lakers, used to always say, and that will get it done on the Lakers Basketball Network.
I grew up in New York. You can ask me about the Mets.
But Chick Hearn and Stu Lance were the best. Anyway, back here, not to digress, Hayu Misadim. They were... Okay, so back to the Mishnah over here.
That was your doing. That wasn't other people's.
That was totally my doing. I don't know why that came up. This is all Callis's fault. Alice, you inspired me. Okay. The Mishnah went on, and the Mishnah said that they fasted and Geshem came. So the Mishnah says, if the Geshem came before Netzach Hamah, so if it came before Nates, they didn't have to complete the fast. If it came after Nates, they got to complete the fast. Well, the Brace is going to expound on that. And the Tanur Rabbanan, Hayu Misanam V'Yardulhem G'Shamim. They were fasting, and then Geshem came. Kodom HaNetzachama Lo Yashlimu. If it's before Nates, then you should not be mashing the fast. You can go home, eat, drink, and be...
Merry.
La'achar Netzachama. After Netzachama, Yashlimu. Then you do have to complete it. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Rabbi Yehuda is a dissenting opinion, and he says, Kodem Chatzos, Lo Yashlimu. He's even more mako. He says, if it happens before Chatzos, because Chatzos is when they had their main meal, right? The 6 hour of the day is when they had their main meal. They woke up and, let's say, 6 a.m. It wasn't until the 12 they had their really main meal. Back then, breakfast was not the most important meal of the day. So, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if it happened before Chatzos, then you no longer have to fast. But after Chatzos, where your main meal is already been given up, that means you've been koveya a fast already, then you got to fast, you got to be mashlim. Rabbi Yossi says further, a further kula, he says, Teshos, ninth hour, which is like, 3 p.m., 2 to 3 p.m. That's a big kula. So if you find, if it rains before 2 or 3 p.m., then you're good. You don't have to fast anymore. You can finish it. Lo yashlimu. Lacher teshos yashlimu.
If it's raining over this period of time, it could be, we're saying, six or 9 hours. Is it the total amount of rain accumulated, or on the ground there continues to be this level for the fast?
Once we hit the accumulation point of the Male Machresha or 1, 2, 3 Tvachim, then I think that's already a sign.
But it's not at the end, it has to maintain a certain level of water.
I don't know if it has to maintain a certain level of water. That's a good question.
That's
maybe we're saying that at once it reaches 3 Tvachim, that is enough water that even if it doesn't sustain that level, it will sustain it for long enough. In other words, it'll take X amount of months for that 3 tefachim of water to subside, and that's good enough. So once we hit that point, then we're saturated for enough time. L'chora, I don't know. This requires more...
Keep going.
I don't know what I did. What did I say? Anyway, Shekein Matzinu Ba'achav, maybe. Maybe it's a whole Chicker and Stu Lance thing. I don't know. Shekein Matzinu Ba'achav. We see this by Achav, Melech Yisrael, who was a Melech Yisrael. He's actually a Russian Marusha, but he did tshuva over here. Sheasanami Teisho Salamala. He fasted in the ninth hour. Now, the story of Achav very quickly. Achav was a very dirty, rotten king, and he wanted the field of a man named Navos. And Navos did not want to give up his land.
Navos.
Nun Beis, Vav, Tuf. He wanted.
Used to sing the Beis
Mikdash. Did he?
That was the whole thing. That he used to sing the Beis Mikdash, and it was a whole process for him to do it. He was singing, he does it, and then one year he decided, I'm not going to do it. It's too much of a personal stress on me.
Yeah.
And because he didn't want to put the effort for everybody else, he merited to have his field taken.
Where did you get this from? This is fascinating.
Oh,
very good. Yeshua Koyach. I did not know that. That is definitely not anything that I saw. Fantastic. Anyway, so Achav wanted his land, and Jezebel, if you will, or Izebel, if you won't. Izebel was his wife, and she was a rotten wife. Well, she might have been a good wife, but she was a terrible person, and she had Navos killed. And so Achav was quite delighted about this and went down to get his field that he now yarshin, that he now inherited. And Eliyahu Navi catches up with Achav and tells him, you realize what you've done and what you've allowed your wife to do, and you're not going to live and your children are not going to live unless you do tshuva. And in fact,
It was a vineyard.
It's a vineyard, yes, indeed. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, Hara'isa, have you seen ki nichna Achav, that Achav has been humbled and he did tshuva. He actually tore his clothing. He did all sackcloth. He did a tainus. He was mamish nichna, and that all happened. The Kabbalah is that this all happened in the ninth hour. Is when he accepted this tainus and. Very good. So we see, and anyway, the ninth hour for kings is when they have their normal meal, because a normal person wakes up at, you know, let's say 6 a.m., but the first hour of the day, and then the sixth hour of the day is their meal. But a king sleeps 3 hours, sleeps into the third hour of the day, so he doesn't have his meal until the ninth hour of the day.
They have 6 hours without eating?
So therefore, what?
They have 6 hours without eating?
So,
a king?
Maybe they have some grapes. Maybe they're lying back and having like the grapes like that, you know?
King.
I don't know.
So
anyway.
Became a
tzaddik? No, he did not become a tzaddik, but there are many indications in the psukim that Achav, at the end, he was I wouldn't say he's a tzaddik at all, but he did tshuva in many aspects. In many respects, he had done tshuva. It's just very fascinating.
Isn't that being a tzaddik in a certain sense?
Well, in the sense that he did, for what he did tshuva for, yes, but there were many things that he did that were very, very bad.
Wasn't there a story with Eliyahu Navi that said to Achav that now no rain's going to come?
More what?
No rain.
Yes. So, this is the beginning of Elijah the prophet.
So like there, he wasn't scared of the, of whatever Eliyahu was saying. But why
is
here?
The bow.
Uh-huh. Very good. Why over here all of a sudden was he nichna?
Yeah, why did he also
it could have been. It could have been that Eliyahu over here upped the ante. He didn't just threaten everybody with rain, but he threatened Achav directly and his Achav's children. And Achav, after seeing the greatness of Eliyahu HaNavi, because he was there witnessing the Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, the great nace that Eliyahu did, Achav was there to see it. Achav was a total believer in Eliyahu. He was a complete believer. Totally believed. Izebel, his wife, was a total Russia, and she steered him very much in the wrong direction. Otherwise, anyway, Achav wasn't fantastic, but whatever. There are indications. The Gemara goes on. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Gozer Tainis of Yodul Hem Geshamim. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was Gozer Tainis, and they had Geshem. La'achar Netzachama. This happened after Netzachama. Savar La'ashluminhu. So he figured, well, it happened after Netz. We better complete the fast. Amr Lei, Rabbi Yami. Rabbi Yami said, Kodim Chatzos. Va'acher Chatzos Sheninu. No, it's not a din in Netzachama, it's a din in Chatzos. And still, since the rain came down before Chatzos, we're good. We're putter.
Shmuel Machlokas, though. Why isn't he Kapaskan like the other Tana?
In a Hanami, good question. Why was he so... good question. Taka, why can't he go like Rabbi Meir? I don't know the answer. Why did Rabbi Yami... I don't know. Interesting. Anyway, Shmuel...
footnote here tonight.
This better be good.
Okay.
I want to hear something good. Bring me something good here.
Although Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya sought to rule in accordance with Rabbi Meir,
yes,
Rabbi Ami insisted that the halacha follows the view of Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah.
Okay, so there's a machlokas.
Rabbi Yehuda and the Braisa, the midday is funny.
All right, so machlokas.
Okay, yalla.
At any rate, yalla, as they say in the old country. Shmuel HaKaton Gazer Tanisa. Shmuel HaKaton was Gazer HaTainis. V'yardu Lahem Geshamim. And Geshem came. Kodem HaNetzachama. This is before Netzachama. Kisvurin Ha'am Lomer Shivcho Shel Tziborhu. The people thought, well, this is a Shevach to us. We must have done something right. The rain came before Netz. So Amar Lahem, the Shmuel HaKaton said to them, let me tell you a mashal as to what this whole thing is similar to. It's like a servant who's seeking a prize from his Rebbe. Amar Lahem. So the Rav says to his people, Tenulo, give the Eved what he wants. Va'al esh makolo. I don't even want to hear his voice. So it's not that Hashem is so proud of you, so pleased with you. He simply doesn't want to hear from you. And that's really, it's the opposite of a shevach shela'am. It's actually saying something negative about them. Shuv, furthermore, Shmuel HaKaton Gazer Tanisa. In another instance, Shmuel HaKaton was Gozer HaTainis, V'yodu Lahem Geshamim. And Geshem came down. La'achar Shkia Sachama. This is after Shkia it came down, right? So, Kesfurim Ha'am Lomar Shivcho Shel Tziborhu. Again, the Am thought that they were fantastic. They must have, with their tefillos that they had all day long, they must have brought the rain. Amar Lahem Shmuel, Shmuel HaKaton said to them, Lo Shevach Shel Tziborhu. This is not the Shevach, this is not your praise.
He's a tough guy to please.
You're a tough guy to please. Gemara goes on and says, how are you pleased, this guy? But anyway, let me give you a mashal what this is similar to. This is similar to an Eved who's seeking a pras from his Rebbe. Amr Lahem, so the Rebbe says to them, to his rest of his people, Himtinulo Achi is makmek v'itstar. I'm going to wait it out until this guy is really mitzdar. So the Eved is begging and begging and begging
and
begging. And the Rabbi is saying, I'm not going
to
do anything for you.
Let's make him suffer.
You're going to have to, right.
I'm fast make as long suffer. As possible.
So, right, exactly. So the reason why, in this case, Shmuel HaKaton says, the reason why it didn't come until Shkia is because Hashem was actually quite displeased with you. And he wanted to see you in Tsar. Va'achar kach tnulo. And after that, after he's in Tsar, he'll give it to him. So the Gemara asks, okay, then Shmuel HaKaton, where does he ever see that anything that's happening for Klal Yisrael is a shavach for Klal Yisrael, that it's a praise to them? So he says, the Gemara says, Amar mashva ruach v'noshav zika. If a guy were to get up and say mashva ruach, and then the wind starts to blow, and Morid HaGeshem va'asamitra, and he says Morid HaGeshem, and the rain falls immediately, that's a Shevach of the Tzibor. But anything short of that is not a Shevach of the Tzibor. We're actually going to finish off the Gemara until the end of the Perek, if you'll bear with me. Maisa v'gazru tainis belud. Right? We're making good time here. I don't know if we're making good time. No clue what time we're on. But anyway, we go on. Maisa v'gazru tainis belud. So the Mishnah said that they were Gozer HaTainis in Lud, and then the rain came down, and they were Mesakein that you should go home and eat and drink and be
merry.
Merry, thank you, and then come back and say Hallel.
Hallel Gadol, not Hallel.
Hallel Gadol, I'm sorry. Hodul Hashem Kitov. Hodul Hashem Kitov, not Hallel.
That's what the Mishnah said?
Yeah, that's what the Mishnah said. The Gemara says, V'neima Hallel Meikara. Why are you sending them home to eat and then telling them come back later for Hallel Gadol? Why don't you say Hallel now and then go home and eat?
They're hungry.
Very good. So the Gemara says, yes. The Gemara says, Abaye v'ravod amr travayu lifisha ein omrim halal ella al nefesh saveya o keres meleya. We only say halal when you're full, when you have a full tummy. You have to have a full tummy in order to say halal. To really appreciate. To really appreciate.
No.
Huh?
For Shachar, Rosh Chodesh.
Oh, very good. So Tosis brings out. Tosis asks that question. Tosis says in Shachar, you should eat before saying halal. What? What are you saying?
Yeah.
It's not really halal, though, on Shemrosh Chodesh.
That's a different halal.
Or the Chagim.
That's a different halal. We're talking about halal agadol, which is Hodul Hashem Ki Tov, which we say Pesukah Dezimra on Shabbos. So Tosfos brings down that that's not a problem to say. Pesukah Dezimra is not a problem to say it because it's very, very early on. Right? That's what Tosfos says.
You're not so hungry.
You're not that hungry.
I don't think it's true.
Okay.
When we say halal on Seder night, we're
full.
We're supposed to like limit.
Halal gadol. We're full. It's after the meal. Halal gadol is afterwards.
Halal gadol. Not halal.
For sure. Not.
That's not halal gadol.
That's not halal gadol. Halal gadol is Hodul Hashem Ki Tov Kilim Chasda. That whole thing of Hodul Hashem Ki Tov, the whole thing in Tehillim.
Where's that?
Somebody get me a sitter. We were going to make good time over here. Now it's it's going
to
be another.
We
got to get to 920 Mariv. We're going to get there easily. All right? I'm going to stretch it out. I'm going to be mitzvah. I'm going to stretch it out.
You're not so talking about the Seder Hall.
No. Just don't.
It's in the Seder also.
It's right here. It's right here. I'm going to let you read it. Okay? This is Halal Gadol. Now, the Gemara says, Aini, say it ain't so. Joe, the Harav Papa, but Rav Papa, Ikla Lebe Kenishta. Rav Papa came into the base Knesset of Avi Guber. Avi Guber was a Avi Guber was a good man. Now, Rashi
sounds like someone's name, Avi Guber.
It's either somebody's name or whatever. I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't matter. The point is, it's either a person or a muckle. The Guzer Tainis V'yadulahem Geshamim, and he was Guzer Tainis, and Geshem came down Ad Chatzos, before Chatzos, the Amr Halel, and he said Halel. So we see that Rav Papa was Guzer to say Halel before they went home and ate. V'achigachach levishasu, and only afterwards they eat. So how can you tell me that we're only going to say Halel al Keres Malaya and Nefesh Saveya? That's not true, because over here Rav Papa said say Halel first. Why? So the Gemara says Shiny Bnei Mechuza, that is different, those people of Mechuza. Why? The Shrichi Buhu Shichrus, because they're drunkards, and so if you send them home to eat, drink, and be merry, then they're going to be overly merry and they're going to get drunk and they're not going to be able to come back and have Halal Gadol. What? Drunk?
Tanias Eilu.
No.
Right?
Yeah, that's what the word
says. What?